Good day, everyone, and welcome to the President's Commission on Law Enforcement and the Administration of Justice conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Director Phil Keith. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon. And thank you to all those that are joining us today on this call. I call the President's Commission on Law Enforcement and Administration of Justice to order. On behalf of Attorney General Barr, we thank you for joining us today for this important Commission teleconference meeting. This will be our last call of the week, and today we will focus on grants and associated processes. At this time, I will ask our Executive Director, Dean Keeter, to conduct our roll call of commissioners.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And before I call the roll, once again, just like to remind everybody that today's call is open to the press. And for any members of the media on the call, if you have questions or need clarification on anything, please contact Christina Mastropasqua in the Justice Department's Office of Public Affairs. And with that, I'll begin the roll call. Commissioner Bowditch. Commissioner Clemens. Commissioner Evans. Commissioner Frazier.
Present. Sorry about that.
Commissioner Galtieri. Commissioner Hawkins.
Present, thank you.
Commissioner Lombardo.
Director Lombardo is joining momentarily.
Commissioner McDonald.
Good afternoon, present.
Commissioner Moody.
Good afternoon. General Moody is on a call with the White House along with other attorney generals, so she'll be joining this call shortly.
Mr. Parr.
Present.
Mr. Price.
Good afternoon. I'm present.
Mr. Ramsey.
Here.
Mr. Rausch.
I'm here.
Mr. Samaniego.
I'm here.
Mr. Smallwood.
I'm here.
Vice Chair Sullivan.
Here.
And Commissioner Washington.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes the roll call.
Thank you, Amy. Are there any other announcements to be made today?
Yes, sir. Two today. One, just to remind everybody on the commissioners and witnesses that your lines are active and open at all times, so please use the mute function. And the second, just like to remind the commissioners that we are aware that some of the calendar invitations are bouncing back because of the size of the attachments, and we are working to address that. And we will have smaller attachments to your calendar invitations going forward so that you should get those in a timely fashion. And that is all today, Mr. Chairman. We're good to go.
Thank you. And as Dean mentioned, we were a little late getting some of the information out, so we apologize for that inconvenience, and we'll certainly make every possible to make sure that doesn't happen again. Some of you did receive the testimony and bios for the panel, but just as a reminder, we will be posting all these materials on the Law Enforcement Commission website as they become available. And once again, we'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge all the commissioners and the working group members for making substantial sacrifices to meet the demands of this commission's work. And on behalf of Attorney General Barr, we thank each of you. As noted on previous calls, we encourage commissioners to take notes during the testimony of the panelists, and we will then open for questions after the last witness. Our first distinguished panelist today is Jennifer Brinkman, who is the Director of Criminal Justice Programs at the Tennessee Department of Administration and Finance. Ms. Brinkman has over 20 years of professional experience working in grants management in the criminal justice field. She is responsible for obligating over $65 million in federal funds for criminal justice initiatives on an annual basis. She oversees 11 different federal program areas. We're appreciative of you being here with us today, Director Brinkman, and you are now recognized.
Thank you. Commissioners, thank you all for your time today and for inviting me to speak on the topic of grants and their import and their impact on state and local criminal justice interventions. I am Jennifer Brinkman, the Director of the Office of Criminal Justice Programs, and I will refer to my agency as OCJP from this point on. OCJP is the state administering agency, or SAA, for 11 different federal grant programs that are focused on crime reduction, victim services, criminal history records, and trauma and addiction treatment. These programs include multiple Department of Justice programs, such as Burn JAG and VOCA. The Burn JAG grant is the most flexible of our grant programs, and it allows OCJP to meet the myriad needs across the criminal justice system. Federal funds are integral for introducing new ideas and then, if successful, educating other practitioners in the state on the success of those programs and then expanding that innovation. Tennessee regularly sees success in using federal grant funds as pilot funds and then having the innovation picked up across the state. The purpose of my testimony today is to share the innovation that federal grants inspire in states and local communities, while also sharing some of the challenges associated with these awards. Federal grant funds are a key and necessary building block for states and local communities to respond to public safety needs by allowing practitioners to test new ideas and access equipment and technology that can enhance their ability to respond to crime. The process of applying for federal grants can be arduous and confusing for some agencies, and the time required to oversee the grant requirements can take away from the direct public service. To assist local agencies with the ability to access federal funds, I have the following recommendations. They are: streamline the application and reporting process across federal agencies and federal grant programs. Reduce requirements on grant programs where possible. See the SAA as a partner who can foster the collaboration, strategic planning, and sustainability planning in local communities. Bring back conferences so that as much as possible, the sharing of lessons learned and promising practices statewide can occur. And allow the SAA to continue to coordinate the federal, state, and local funds and make it easier to do so. I'll now go into some detail on these recommendations. First, on the topic of streamlining the application and reporting process across federal agencies and federal grant programs, simplification would assist local law enforcement agencies and their partners in applying for and overseeing more federal grants. Most criminal justice and victim services agencies are small agencies with few staff. Staff's role is focused on their mission of safety and public service. 80% of law enforcement agencies in Tennessee have 25 officers or less. This means that for the majority of law enforcement agencies in Tennessee, to apply for a grant, an officer is taken out of the field to write the grant, and then every time an amendment or report needs to be submitted, the officer again is taken away from protecting the public to complete the grant needs. The complexity of the federal application process and PMT reporting system inhibits smaller agencies from applying for direct federal awards, and therefore they rely heavily on the SAA to access formula awards. The SAA can provide more administrative support for these formula funds. These funds are limited, however, and with over 425 law enforcement agencies in Tennessee, competition is high for these limited funds. My second recommendation, reduce requirements on grant programs where possible. The SAA and local agency staff spend a significant amount of time overseeing special conditions, uniform guidance requirements, and other specific requirements of various grant programs. While some requirements are necessary to ensure that we are all good stewards of taxpayer funds, requirements could be reduced. Instead, requirements are added with each award. As an example, special conditions for the JAG award have increased from 42 in 2015 to 72 in 2019. For the same time period, VOCA has increased from 30 to 41. Feedback from some Tennessee local grantees has been that, while grateful for the funds and opportunity, managing the grants are more work than they anticipated. I've even had local grantees request to terminate grant contracts after they fully understood all that was required of them. Third recommendation, see the SAA as a partner who can foster collaboration, strategic planning, and sustainability planning in local communities. SAAs have a unique position. We are at the state level, but we work daily in local communities across our state to address gaps in resources and foster collaboration and strategic planning. Federal departments engaging with SAAs on discretionary local projects in the beginning would foster better sustainability plans. OCJP regularly plans for sustainability with our grantees. We have leveraged federal grants to create multidisciplinary collaborative responses and then assist in planning for the sustainability of them. In doing this, we look for other resources to leverage when the federal funds run out. One example is the Targeted Community Crime Reduction Program. One program implemented in this group was a day reporting center in Johnson City. This project demonstrated great success. and have partnered closely with the courts, jail, and probation. OCJP brought state leaders from the Tennessee Department of Correction, or TDOC, to planning meetings to learn of the project's success. TDOC absorbed this burn-jag pilot project and then initiated 6 more day reporting centers across the state based on the Johnson City model. All 7 are now supported with state funds by TDOC. Fourth recommendation, bring back conferences so that as much as possible, the sharing of lessons learned and promising practices statewide can occur. Grant-funded programs deliver lessons all the time. Annual conferences paid for with federal funds were once regularly used by states to share information on the successes of these programs. Extensive requirements have now been placed on conferences when paid for with federal funds, and the requirements are arduous and time-consuming. Annual conferences were a dedicated time to meet others in the field and learn new things, and the requirements that have been placed on conferences could be reduced or modified. Last recommendation. Allow the FAA to continue to coordinate the federal, state, and local funds and make it easier to do so. The leveraging of funds and avoiding of supplanting of federal funds is the primary function of the FAA. Without the FAA and the federal system of transparency, it would be difficult to determine if the federal funds received are being used to support or supplant state and local funds already in place. Progress has been made on the sharing of information in federal discretionary grants that have been awarded in each state, but the details describing this project is not always readily available. Without this information, overseeing projects and resources in the state is made difficult and can lead to some communities receiving awards for duplicative projects or resources. These recommendations are made in the spirit of collaboration and continuous improvement. I thank you for the invitation to speak and the time on this panel. Tennessee is grateful for the federal grant programs it administers, which allows the state to innovate and collaborate at both the state and local level with criminal justice and victim services practitioners. I look forward to answering any questions you may have. If anyone wants to contact me with questions after today, you can reach me at 615-253-2037. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Brinkman, for your testimony and for your service in the criminal justice field. Our next distinguished panelist is Sheriff A.J. Lauterbach from Jackson County, Texas. Sheriff Lauterbach has over 40 years in law enforcement and is a recognized leader by his peers, NSA, and others. He has served in multiple leadership roles in Texas as well as on national initiatives for NSA. He's serving in his 4th term as Sheriff of Jackson County. He's a veteran of the United States Air Force. Sheriff Lauterbach, thank you for joining us today. You're recognized.
Many thanks to Attorney General William Barr, Phil Keith, our chair, Assistant Director Katie Sullivan, Dean Keeter, our Executive Director, Working Group Commissioners, and Working Group members. Let's discuss grants this afternoon and making them better. A critical aspect for law enforcement is the grant system. It's truly a lifeline, it's probably the best way that I could say, critical for rural law enforcement for sure. The first discussion, and what I have as a key priority here, is to simplify the grant system. The simplification plays such a role, especially for rural agencies here in the United States. Many times the skill level, the experience, the knowledge, and in some cases even the technology, from scanners to proper bandwidth, and computers, laptops, and things are just not present here in the United States. Let's address what I see as a growing issue here, especially here in Texas, is something that we've experienced here and see right now, is how do we reward innovative forward thinking in ideas? How do we capitalize on regional crime fighting concepts? How do we avoid and move from a silo mentality that affects our agencies? How do we promote innovation? And I believe this is a new area that grants could look into from the federal government side and see if we can't come up with a positive response there. Our grant system should have timely grant funding. All too often in my time here, I've seen the need is just not met simply because we're putting in a grant for a specific reason many times, and 8 months to a year is not going to meet the need. And critically, things are just not done. And something else that bothers me on a daily basis is the emergency issue. And I kind of look at the terrorist issue, the COVID-19 issue. How could we put in a grant in an emergency situation that's not of that magnitude, but how can we get to a point where funding could possibly be done 30 to 60 days, 90 days, something to consider as we move forward in the system. Our grant system, to me, must remove the complexity. A key issue, something that's always bothered me, and I know when I put in for a school violence grant that we were stymied by multiple websites, tremendous reporting requirements. I believe that we can shorten the application on the grant system. I believe all of those things can work in concert to improve our grant system quite a bit. I'd like to see a return to equipment purchase. And I'll tell you, commissioners, working group members, without this aspect included, especially rural law enforcement will continue to use outdated, sometimes non-functioning equipment. Not being able to purchase any equipment is a yearly occurrence for smaller agencies. You're in the 3-man, 10-man below agency here, and you're dealing with local government. We've got to find a positive way to approach local government in order to get this equipment and to maintain it and not have the rest of their budget affected by it. And clearly, our grant system must achieve a fair playing field. Correcting the above issues I've talked about will ensure a better outcome for law enforcement. A key aspect of this I'd like to see reestablished would be field visits. Field visits, to me, are so critical. They would identify and solve and provide the information needed for a fluid, quick change when needed in our business. And in summarizing for the group, if we simplify and shorten, we create innovation, we provide timely funding, we remove the complex steps that we have to deal with, we provide equipment, we level the playing field, and we reestablish field visits, I think we can accomplish the goals that this historic commission set out to prove. So with that, again, A.J. Louderback, I can be reached quickly at 361-781-4468. It's my cell phone. Please reach out. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you may have from this perspective. Thanks again.
Thank you, Sheriff, for your testimony and for your distinguished law enforcement service as well as service to the country. Our last panelist today is Chief Keith Kaufman. He's from Redondo Beach, California Police Department. Chief Kaufman started his career with the Hawthorne Police Department in 1994. He received Medal of Valor not only once but twice in 1995 and 96 while serving as a patrol officer. Chief Kaufman has served in numerous leadership initiatives, including the L.A. County Chiefs Association as well as the L.A. Impact Initiative. Chief Kaufman, thank you for joining us today, and you're recognized.
Thank you, Director Keith. Also, thank you to Vice Chair Catherine Sullivan and the rest of the commissioners. It's an honor to be able to testify today on grants. I'd like to talk to you from the perspective of a police officer that has spent the vast majority of my career writing grants and now overseeing them as a chief of police. That perspective may be a bit different than someone that is maybe a grant analyst or someone that works throughout the system day in and day out. It's already been said, but the truth is that the cloud that casts a shadow over me in my entire career with respect to grants is that it constantly pulls me away from my day-to-day law enforcement duties. It also helps propel me because the necessity of grants and successful grant writing is one way to make the police agencies in America respond to their communities even better. Larger agencies have dedicated grant writers. They have dedicated grant analysts, and therefore they have an edge. These systems are so complex that when you are a police sergeant like I was with an ancillary duty of writing a grant, or if you're an assistant to somebody and you're tasked with seeking grant funding, you just don't understand the process and the language that it takes to get this done. A lot of people assume that grants are as easy as going to a website like grants.gov, applying, managing, and closing out a grant. It just doesn't work that way. When you go to grants.gov, the federal website, it's like walking into a Home Depot and searching for a cotter pin, but there's nobody in an orange apron to help you. You have to know what it is you want and where it is you can find it and be able to speak the acronym language of the government, or else you're not going to be able to get this done. To help you understand this and just throw a few of those acronyms out there, I can tell you the experience of an agency like mine applying for a port security grant. You log on to grants.gov, and the first thing you do, it asks you to create a workspace. If anyone in the history of your agency has already created a workspace, you're gonna be told to find the workspace owner to get the passwords. And then from that password, you have to go to a SAM website, and that's the Systems for Awards Management, and enter that number. From there, you'll be asked for another number. By the time you track down everybody that you need to find these different logins, usernames, and passwords, a lot of people will just give up. Now, the BJA grants, as described before, and Director Keith, especially the COPS grants, they're much better. You've made a real difference in simplifying them. When I talked to my analysts about the BJA grants and the COPS grants, she made sure to remind you, especially Director Keith, that you have an employee there named Elaine Van Landingham, and she is a godsend. And that's because her level of customer service helps us navigate the system. That's where we get it right, the customer service. Where I think we get it wrong is when it still takes three different systems to navigate one website or to navigate one grant. So in the BJA realm, you have the grants management system, you have the PMT system, and then you have the grant payment request system where you draw funds down. Each of these individually works fairly well, but they don't all work together, which leads me to my first recommendation. The federal government must standardize and streamline the federal grant-making process and systems. Now, some of the larger grants, pass-through grants, I call them, those are the ones that will go from FEMA to the state, down to the county and the city. These get so convoluted by the time each of these entities places their own rules on them that when the grants come to fruition, they're almost obsolete. If the commissioners remember anything from what I say today, please remember this. I'm involved with the LA County Chiefs of Police. I sit on the Homeland Security Grant Board for us, and I write 22 grants for individual agencies. I do that because they're so difficult to navigate that if we asked each of those agencies to do their own, we'd never get it done. 2017, we were awarded a grant for portable radios. Still do not have the money. How is it possible for the federal government to secure our nation against our agile enemies and our ever-changing threats if we are still waiting for reimbursement that's more than 4 years in the rears? My second recommendation, create a system that works with states, counties, and cities to expedite grant funding. Then some talk about training and about conferences. I do think that's a good idea. However, the problem is the more complex these systems get, the more training they require. Training takes time, and it requires money. I think we need to take a fresh look at this, and we need to develop a system that is intuitive and that can train the user as they go. I sat in a meeting one time with a tech CEO, and a bunch of chiefs were badgering this person about how long it was going to take to train officers on how to use the system. pulled a cell phone out of his pocket, an iPhone. He looked at one of the chiefs and he said, "Do you have one of these?" The chief said, "Yes." I remember the CEO saying, "Well, did you get trained on it, or did you just turn it on and start pushing buttons?" Because with good technology, that's what one can do. That's my third recommendation. Create a system that is user-friendly and does not require an expert to use. I'm going to back the sentiments of Sheriff Lauterbach in this next statement. Funding. When COVID-19 hit, it was an emergency. I knew I needed money. So what did I do? I turned to grants. I logged on the computer. I filled out a two-page application. The next day, I was on a Zoom call with 9 members. I explained the need. They voted to fund my grant. The following day, they gave me access to an account with $35,000. That put me in a position to have COVID testing for my officers, antibody testing, and to put us at the forefront so I could keep my cops on the road. Now, that wasn't a federal grant. That was a foundation grant. And maybe that's an oversimplified look, but we should look at that. If we were able to create profiles for each of our agencies in a user-friendly system, we might be able to cut down the time so that agencies don't have to wait for reimbursement, especially in the time of an emergency. That's my fourth recommendation. Examine funding models and improve accessibility by removing the need for matching funds or extended reimbursement times. Quick summary of my recommendations is to make sure that we standardize and streamline. We've got to be able to have agencies create a profile so that grants can be sent to them that fit their needs, not that they walk into a website and have to find what it is they're trying to look for. Number two, we have to create a system that expedites grant funding. Remove the delays that are making some of these grants obsolete by the time they're fully reimbursed to the applicant. Number three, and maybe most importantly, we have to create a user-friendly system that does not require an expert. This system should have a subsequent app that makes the grant process mobile and facilitates real-time reporting and managing. And the fourth and final recommendation is examine these funding models and improve accessibility by removing the need for matching funds and extended reimbursement times. Make the system equitable and also realize that the power of funding something quickly should never be underestimated. I thank you very much for your time. I can be reached, my email, keith.kaufman, that's K-A-U-F-F-M-A-N, at redondo.org. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief Kaufman, for your valued testimony, and thank you for your distinguished service to our country. Just for the record, Chief Kaufman referred to Elaine Landingham. She's actually an employee of BJA. I'd like to take credit for her, but she is a great employee, and she works for BJA and Vice Chair Sullivan's Office of Justice Programs. Commissioners, we're now open for questions for the witnesses. Commissioners, with a question, please state your name prior to your question and direct the question to a specific panelist, or if the response from the entire panel is your intent, please state so. Just as a reminder to commissioners, your mics are hot at all times. Thank you, and now we entertain questions from commissioners for our panelists. Questions from commissioners for our panelists.
Director Keith, this is Craig Price.
Yes, you recognize, Commissioner.
I don't necessarily have a question, but Chief Kaufman, I've been responsible for in different parts of my career for being over many, many grants, federal grants and otherwise, and I really appreciate the input that you had, and your recommendations I think are right on point. So I appreciate that and wanted to let you know. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Other commissioners with questions or comments?
This is Katie. Hi. Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am. You're recognized.
Thank you. I just also want to say that the COPS office is incredible, and I know that their customer service is remarkable, and we at OJP look to them as an example. So everybody really, I do think, is as customer service centered as they can be. I just also want to, just for the commissioner's knowledge, OJP is developing a new database system that is going live at this year, meaning in 2020, that we're hoping takes care of a lot of the things that have been testified to. So the only reason why I bring that up is because the working group spending a lot of time on that recommendation. We really are trying to develop something that addresses all of those issues and complaints, and they are duly noted. I always laugh when I came into the federal government. I said it's like learning a foreign language. So I identify with that testimony very deeply, and just that hits the nail on the head. It should not be that way. We are serving you. You are our customers. So, really work on that, changing that culture every day. But I have a question, and it might be a little bit controversial. So I would like to hear from all three panelists, if you could. So it's interesting to hear that some of the state grants, are not utilized in or getting out as efficiently as what would be what theoretically they should be. The idea is you give the money to the states, and then the states know best where their needs are. But I hear a complaint about that system. We have a state administrator on the line, so I'd like to hear their side of things. I really do believe that one recommendation could be that we back down from block grants and we do more grant making that directly from the offices and the federal government, which has pluses and minuses. I also worry about rural communities with block or formula grants. Are rural communities being served? That's a lot, but from a recommendation standpoint, I would love to hear your expertise on making formula or block grants to the states. I've heard two sides of that coin, so if you guys want to debate it, that would be great.
This is Director Brinkman. I'll start and then let others jump in. I think part of what you're hearing, Commissioner Sullivan, is that there is a difference amongst states. And so what Tennessee does is going to be different than what Texas does, and it's going to be different than what California does. So I think that it's first and foremost important that for SAAs, because every SAA is different. I am a unique SAA because I am embedded, and while I'm appointed, I'm not in the governor's office. So I'm not politically motivated. I'm motivated by the state and the state needs and what the locals need. So for my state, I do a lot of under 10K grants, and I do the equipment grants that both the sheriff and chief spoke about as being very important, but those smaller agencies need those things, and those local county governments can't support those needs. I have with my JAG funding bought patrol cars for small departments. I buy bulletproof vests and I buy guns, but that's because how my state is set up, and I have a lot of support from organizations like the National Criminal Justice Association who kind of work with all SAAs on kind of what our mission is, but I think there's not enough time for SAAs to come together and to learn. And so when you have political appointees whose job kind of depends on what's going on in their state, those appointees have to have the education. And so I think the federal government could give us more guidance on what you want us to do, but I feel fairly strongly that in my state, I can only speak for myself, in my state, I believe that my law enforcement know that I get as much money out to the locals as I can, and I do it on a regular basis. And when I give it to state agencies, I give it to, and Commissioner Roush is on the phone, we give it to TBI because TBI and the Department of Safety, our state troopers, help support some of those rural communities. So we'll do equipment grants with the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. They'll get equipment in, but that's to help the locals, and they get that out. Now, there might be complaints, but then we address that because we're in the field on a regular basis. So I think each state is different, and I think you'll get three responses on this call, but it's different. And I think for states like me to lose the funding, we're going to hurt those under 10K even more if you give that to directs, because the under 10K won't be able to write the grants. We have to administer those funds. We do their PMTs because their systems don't allow them to complete and get into all the systems necessary. So I think it just depends on the state. Sheriff and Chief, I open it to you.
Chief,
thank you.
I'm ready to go.
Yes, Sheriff, you're
ready. Commissioner, thank you for the question. Clearly the disparity between the states are an issue. What Ms. Brinkman talked about would be admirable, but there's a clear distinction and a disparity between what the states do. I think probably block grants have a role and a purpose and do well, but without a direct access or a percentage of dollars that are set aside for direct access, I believe we're still missing, unless we do that, we're still going to miss, in the state of Texas, we're not going to be as fulfilled as we should be. Don't know enough about the how much money is involved with block grants and so forth. I don't do many of those, but I do know that real needs, especially in the rural aspect of Texas, which 254 counties, 190 counties, or 50,000 population and below, and that's where the real challenges lie here in the state of Texas. Thank you.
Hi, this is
Chief Kaufman.
Yes, thank you, and thank you for the question. You know, I'm sure that the way that this operates from state to state varies, and I'd be willing to bet that California probably has one of the most convoluted systems. I don't know where we should point for the blame because we're all responsible. My city alone has a set of rules that can cause delays to the point that sometimes I'll write a grant to a police foundation instead of looking for funding through the city because I don't want to wait and abide by all those rules. But In California, the example that I gave you is these are major Homeland Security grants that pass through the state. So for us, it goes to Cal OES, from Cal OES down to the counties, and then from the counties to the city. The problem is, my opinion is that each of those entities has their own set of rules. And when things get more complex, they have to put more rules in place. And every time this happens, it causes a delay. Here's the example I'll give you. These grants were being delayed so long, like the one I told you about from 2017, I've yet to have reimbursement from, that now, in 2019 and in 2020, and you can see this in my written testimony, county requires police chiefs to come up with what it is they would like to have grant funded in the following year based on a funding model from the year prior, create those workbooks, and submit them so that the county can submit them to the state before the federal funds are ever released. This is crazy. Law enforcement changes quickly. Look what just happened over the last couple of months here. I mean, by the time ink is dry on all the paperwork, grants sometimes are obsolete, which causes further delay. So if it took me 4 years to get reimbursed for radios and I had to find them in another mechanism, by the time I'm ready to buy radios, I may have to do what's called a modification. And those are horrendous. So it's just it's a very difficult system. I don't know if it should go direct. I don't know, but I know it needs to be examined and changed.
Thank you, panelists. Are there other questions from commissioners or our panelists?
David Roush.
Yes, sir, you're recognized.
Thank you. So I do want to add a little on that. And so some of the challenges we see as well, at least at the agency level, come from those that don't go through the state. So the grants that are being handled by SAAs, at least in Tennessee, and as Director Brinkman was saying, are well managed, and we have consistency in who we are dealing with. The problems with some of the federal grants are that the contact that we end up working with changes so frequently that the rules change on us as well, because that person then is learning about their role, and then they interpret the rules differently. We run into that. They have a different focus on what they think is important in the grant, and so it adjusts how we're supposed to report, and it just becomes really convoluted and complicated at times. And so having that consistency where it comes through an SAA, I think, and again, I know that they're not all the same, so we're blessed to have a great system in Tennessee. But I'd be curious to hear the from Director Brinkman the challenge of when those contacts at the federal level change, and the complexity of the challenge that it causes.
Thank you, Thank Commissioner you. Roush. Oh, sorry, I was going to answer his question. I apologize.
No, you recognize Director Brinkman.
I do think that there is a lot of issues with continuity at the federal level with turnover, and it does cause issues because you will have one analyst that tells you all of this is okay and they do it this way, and this is how they interpret the uniform guidance or the program requirements. And then you get a new program or policy analyst, I think they're called, and when we get our new policy analyst, all of a sudden the things we were doing under one become unacceptable under the other, or we get questions on our reporting differently. And so there's a lot, I think, internally at the federal level around onboarding and training, and I'm sure that there's already processes, but I think that there's some benefit to reaching out to grantees across the spectrum and getting a little more information on how that affects what is helping us or what's hurting us in getting the information as it's needed and having that continuity. Because if we had the continuity, there would be less questions from us, and there would be less frustration from us when we're getting those federal funds, and there would be less fear when we're getting out to the locals that we're going to do something wrong. So I don't know if that answers the question, but essentially every time that there's turnover because there's a lack of continuity between federal funding sources. So the uniform guidance, I actually asked a question of all of my federal fund sources probably 3 or 4 weeks ago that was a result of COVID and the small business loans. And I had 3 different answers based on the uniform guidance from 3 different federal departments on how those small business loans would impact my federal grants. 3 completely different answers. So there's that breakdown that happens.
Director Keith, this is Keith Kaufman. Can I add to that, please?
Yes, you're recognized, Chief.
One of the additional problems in this exact same scenario is not with the federal government, but it's with all of the applying agencies. Here's the way it works. You get stuck in an administrative position. The next thing you know, you're tasked with writing a grant. Once you figure out how time-consuming and burdensome this is, the minute you can change assignments, you drop that like a hot potato. And then the next person comes in with a new set of usernames and passwords and training, and then the next person and the next person. This is what happens in these agencies. Nobody wants to do it. So it just keeps getting passed on, and you always lose your expertise. I think a possible solution is stop relying on the user and their level of training and start relying on the profile of the agency. If we had a system where you logged in as Redondo Beach PD and I entered a profile for my agency, how many officers, demographics, city population, crime rates, programs, initiatives, all of those things that pertain to my particular city, and then that system promulgated what is important to me, you could vet the city as the applicant instead of the city or the entity as the applicant instead of the specific user. And we might be able to streamline things a lot more. It's insane. When we logged on to the grant management system, I did this with my analysts a couple days ago in preparation for this, we had 4 usernames and passwords. You should see her paperwork just to log into these systems. I told another story in there. For security reasons, she tried to log into the grant drawdown system, and it asked for her mother's maiden or her mother's middle name. Her mom didn't have a middle name, so she wrote none, and then it locked us out. But if we created an agency profile with security measures, it might be better than an individual profile because the individuals change just like they do in the federal government.
Thank you, Chief Kaufman. Other commissioners with questions or comments?
Chairman Keith, Sheriff Clemens, just letting you know I was on the line, and I wanted to thank the presenters for their conversation today.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Sheriff. Appreciate you joining us today. Let the record show that Commissioner Clemens is on the call. Any other questions or comments from commissioners?
Director, this is Frederick Frazier. I'd like to just put in a comment real quick.
Yes, you recognize.
I want to say this to Sheriff Waterbeck because I've worked around him during our legislative sessions for the last decade, and I know how passionate he is about this and the subject matter he is an expert in. And so having him on here today and having all these panelists on here today opens up some of the things that many of us overlook. And I just want to tell Sheriff Waterbeck how much I really appreciate what he brings to law enforcement and what he does every single day when he's out there. So I just want to make sure he heard that and didn't get enough of it.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner Frazier. Other questions or comments from commissioners?
Hey, Chairman Keith, this is Dave Bowditch. I just wanted to kind of foot stomp what Sheriff Lauterbach talked about earlier, which is the how do we incentivize or how do we promote innovation, rather. I think this profession just continues to require us to adapt and evolve and be much more agile than we used to have to be just based on technology and the threats that come with that and the challenges that come with that, quite frankly. And I just wanted to footstop that point. I thought that was a really good point. That is something we struggle with in the federal government. When it comes to grants, I'm outclassed. I've never written a grant, so I defer on that. But I think that's a really good point, and it might be worthy of a little more on that as far as some ideas of how we can promote innovation through the grant process.
Thank you, Director, for joining us today. Thank you for your comments. Other commissioners with comments or questions? Hearing no further questions, let me close by thanking our panelists once again for your time and most valuable testimony and responses to the questions from our commissioners. On behalf of the Attorney General and his leadership team of Rachel Bissick and Jeff Vita and all the commissioners, your contributions provided today are most sincerely appreciated and will assist the commission in their deliberations and work. Next week, we'll focus on the juvenile justice topic. We'll be sending out calendar invites with testimony as we receive them and bios, hopefully by tomorrow afternoon, to the commissioners. We're also planning a commissioner's executive session, and we will follow up on that as soon as we have that information confirmed. Also, please check the President's Commission page for additional updates of documents and information on the Main Justice website and we will update it regularly as we receive information for posting. If there's no further business before us today, the President's Commission is adjourned. And thank you, Commissioners, and our panelists for being here today. And thank you for your dedication and commitment.
Thank you very much, Director Keith.
Thank you, Director Keith.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Phil. Thank you.
Great week. Take care.
And once again, that does conclude today's meeting. We do thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.